It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, our business contributor, Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, is speaking with Peggy Uten, the executive director of the Bayer Center for Nonprofit Management at Robert Morris University, about the business of nonprofits, significant business drivers in our region and in general. In part two of this series, the focus is on people.
Today, we want to talk about the majority of people who work in nonprofits who happen to be women. Actually, the number is 74%. Joining us to talk about this today is Peggy Uten, the executive director of the Bayer Center for Nonprofit Management at Robert Morris University. Welcome, Peggy.
Oh, hi, Rebecca.
It's great to have you here today.
Thank you so much.
So this 74%, I know this is a very special number to you. And can you talk to us about why this number is so important with regard to the nonprofit workforce?
Absolutely. So here's the deal, Rebecca. Since the year 2000, we have been doing a wage and benefit study of the regional nonprofit groups. This study is commissioned by the United Way of Allegheny County, and so every other year I stood up and reported a pay equity gap that was bigger than the one that generated the legislation called Lilly Ledbetter. In nonprofits, in local nonprofit organizations, and really in, throughout the country, about three-quarters of the workforce in Allegheny County, it's actually 74% right. of the workforce, are women. And guess what? They make 74 cents on the dollar to men, again, according to the study we've been conducting every other year. So, you know, I've given my life to trying to see that nonprofits were effective and efficient, that they used other people's money really well. And I added an adjective to my aspiration, and that is fair.
I like that adjective a lot. And I know that using that word fair that you created with the support of great local partners, a kitchen cabinet. And in the interest of full disclosure, I'm honored to be a member of this group. So let's talk about what that is and what impact that has had on our community and what you've been doing with that.
Well, we're very grateful to you for agreeing to give your time and your energy, which is considerable, to the kitchen cabinet.
My pleasure.
We thank you for that.
My pleasure.
So as we began to think about this issue, we looked around and realized that the Eden Hall Foundation has a historic interest in women's lives. It's from Heinz money, and Mr. Heinz started a retreat center for women who worked on the line in his factory. So Eden Hall grows very organically about issues for women, and they were good enough to supply funding, as was Bayer USA, so we could really dig into this particular issue. Now, this is a community issue, Rebecca. This is not the Bayer Center's issue. This is the community's
right.
issue. And so from the very beginning, we needed our kitchen cabinet. We needed business people. We needed academic people. We needed nonprofit leaders. We needed government leaders. And when you look at the more than 170 people who have signed on in our kitchen cabinet, you see a wonderful diversity of experience, background, and spheres of influence. And spheres of influence matter because what we have asked our kitchen cabinet to do is to carry this issue wherever they are, just as you are very nicely doing today. We've asked each one of those 170 people to talk about it in their workplace, to talk about it on the nonprofit board on which they serve, to talk about it in their places of worship, in their civic clubs, because we need to change people's thinking about how salaries are set, and we also need to touch them in their values and their hearts and minds. So the kitchen cabinet is integral to the strategy that says we want to move this issue throughout the community and get fair-minded people to start thinking about how salaries are set in nonprofit organizations.
Well, I think that's really critical, and I know on the WESA website we're going to have a number of links to different organizations, to the studies that you have produced, so people can look at that. But let's tie this issue back to talent retention and to nonprofit boards, because I think they are all integral.
Yeah. Yesterday, we talked about how businesses had talent strategies and how important that was and how nonprofits needed to learn from that. One of the key ways, we've done a calculation. If you assume a nonprofit board size on average is about 15 people,
right,
and there are 1.5 million people of nonprofits in this country, we need to have – what did I say here? I had the figure here. 22.5 million people sitting on nonprofit boards. Well, who ultimately approves the budget and therefore the salary administration plan but the nonprofit board member? So who sits on those boards and what they think about as they look at budget numbers and as they think about employing people is of critical importance to this issue. So we're very interested in the talent question, not only being the most talented staff that you can possibly have, but also that, boy, you populate your board with the smartest people you can find. There's a kind of a famous Harvard Business Review article that was about nonprofit boards, and the headline was, "Don't park your brain at the door."
I love that. I love that.
So, yeah. Right, right. So, you know, they, if in their work life they are thinking hard about getting the best and the brightest, please bring that into your nonprofit boardroom and put that same kind of lens on how are people being treated here? Is this a job that anybody would want? How can we keep the ones that are good? And how can we not keep the ones that are not doing the job? This is not a vanity act in nonprofit organizations, nor is it a kindness. It is a critical that we have the best talent on our staffs, and it's going to start with the talent we have on our boards.
And it really ties back to the concept we talked about before, which is nonprofits really running as businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to think about. And also, that gets us into really the pay equity gap and why that matters for workforce competitiveness. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. The workforce for business is about 35 or 40% women. The workforce in government is almost 50-50 men and women. So the pay equity issue for an industry, if you will, if you want to call the nonprofit sector that, that is almost three quarters female is really, it puts a different cast on why this pay equity issue is particularly important in the nonprofit sector. And there are many relevant studies. I invite your listeners to look at the website. We've partnered with some really great organizations around the country that have looked at pay equity issues and other issues around retirement, et cetera. But one of the studies that really bothered me was Daring to Lead, a study done in 2010 by Compass Point, a very distinguished organization right. in California. And in the Daring to Lead report, which looked at 3,000 nonprofit executive directors' attitudes, uh-huh. many of the younger people said, "No, thank you. I would really rather never be a nonprofit executive. Those are the jobs from hell, as far as we're concerned."
Oh, dear.
Nonprofit leaders work in a fishbowl of community comment. They work with a business model that is inherently flawed. They do work that's not profitable, often for people who are invisible in society, the young, the old, the sick, the mentally ill. Nonprofit leaders are social workers, artists, and teachers, and then they become an executive director, and they now have an intimate relationship with the IRS. Yippee! These jobs are not jobs that younger leaders are necessarily saying, "Bring it on, give it to me."
And this was a quote that was in a 2010 study that was done that a younger leader was saying, "This is why I don't want to be a leader," which is a huge problem, because if we don't bring the millennials in as the next generation of leaders in our nonprofits, we're going to have a serious problem, Peggy.
Well, we absolutely are, because, you know, the baby boomers are turning 65 at the rate of 10,000 a day.
A day.
We are the biggest age cohort that has ever been, I think, in the history of
right.
the world.
Right.
And the age cohort that follows us, who would naturally be the next leaders, is half the numbers of people. So if we can't make these nonprofit jobs attractive and reasonable and fair,
right.
we are going to have a big problem with all of those amenities and services and social safety net that the nonprofit community is now providing.
That's exactly right, and that we've come to rely on as well. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Rebecca Harris, Director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, speaking with Peggy Uten, the Executive Director of the Bayer Center for Nonprofit Management at Robert Morris University, speaking about the business of nonprofits and their most important resource, their people. So when you look at the pay equity issue, how would you best address that, Peggy? What are your solutions? Because we can talk about it, we can do studies, but we have to have action steps. So where are we? What are you going to do?
The first thing that we must do is elevate the importance of HR, human relations, in nonprofit organizations in general. That's at the board level, that's at the staff level. Most nonprofits have 10 or fewer employees. Many of them have three or fewer. They don't have an HR person on their staff. And so we hear in interviews that I've been doing that many of them don't have retirement planning of any sort. They don't have professional development plans. They don't have talent retention and acquisition plans. So first, Rebecca, we got to get serious about how important HR is to the future of our community. And nonprofit HR has to step up. We also, in that same Daring to Lead study, learned that only about half of executive directors have any sort of performance evaluation at all. Mm-hmm. And we have to really get, again, quite serious about saying who does a good job, what's a good job look like,
right,
and how do we really coach people into improved performance so that these organizations can move into the next decade with confidence. We also need to look at our younger employees. We need to do some real work with younger employees. Many of them have felt stuck because, like many people,
right,
the economy has not been conducive to people getting another job and moving up in their own positions.
And this is nonprofits and for-profits and small businesses. This sounds very much like the cohort that I work with, small businesses.
Absolutely.
Very difficult.
But the way that people have historically built their careers in nonprofits is they have moved, and they've gotten a better pay scale, and they've gotten more responsibility. Well, the baby boomer women are not moving, so jobs are not opening up. And so, therefore, we've got to get better at HR once again so that we make the job they have more the job they want, that there's greater leadership capacity, there's greater intention paid to growing people into responsibility, because we need them to be responsible, says she who is a baby boomer.
Right. And might need all these services soon.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And then also the boards. To return to the boards, we want to see that they really get serious about succession planning and being intentional about thinking about who's next and how are we going to handle that and what's going to happen if in an emergency we should lose our ED or if in a planned succession. But I also think the funding community plays a real role here. Funders have made a dramatic difference in the way financial reporting occurs. And it's completely appropriate. They needed to be able to tell what money had come in, where it had been spent, and what happened because of their investments. But if funders would take on the issue of what happens to the people inside the organization and figure out an appropriate way to ask a few questions about how salaries are set,
interesting,
how professional development
right,
occurs, how people are treated inside the organization, putting at least as much value on the nonprofit employee as we do on the client and recipient. Wow,
right.
I just said a mouthful,
that's
Rebecca.
That's a win-win, though, Peggy.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
So let's go to the last question, which is how can business people who are working in for-profits or government organizations really get involved in this issue and assist nonprofits?
Absolutely. They are absolutely critical, again, because they bring business savvy and business acumen into the room. We had at our last Kitchen Cabinet meeting a speaker, Susan Egmont from Boston, who told a story about a board group that was hiring a new executive director. The stated salary was $140,000, nice salary. They decided to hire a woman who had been a public defender, whose salary was then $85,000. One of the women on the board said, "We can't pay her $140,000. That's too much money." And one of the men on the board said, "We need to pay for the position, not the individual." This kind of thinking is
right,
one of the ways business people can really infuse their wisdom into a nonprofit boardroom. Get the right number in your budget, for heaven's sake, then hire your person so that you can replace that person in the future and not cripple your organization's future. Business people know that and think like that, and we need them to be thinking about that. We want them to bring their A game when they come to our nonprofit. I know it's after work, guys. I know that we should really give you cheese so that your brain can function with some protein. I know we're asking a lot, that you have worked all day and you have done a great job for our community and your business, contributing mightily to what is good about Pittsburgh. But when you come to our nonprofit boardroom, really put on your smartest hat and think hard about what you're hearing and ask really good questions and insist on excellence in performance.
Peggy, that is an exceptional answer, and what you do is exceptional work. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's been a great pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. To hear any of our shows or segments from our programs, you can go to our archive at wesa.fm. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you again next time on Essential Pittsburgh.